And that's kind of what Vegas looks like. Just, it's a desert. Vast desert with a million people in it. Very strange.
I am in an elevator in the hotel in Vegas, on my way to the restaurant on the 62nd floor. It is sunset, and all the lights of the city are winking on, reflected in the gold-mirrored windows of the Mandalay Bay complex. It is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. As I stumble out of the elevator, still stunned by all that beauty, it's a bit early for my 6 o'clock reservation. I kill time with a cocktail in the lounge. It's called a Stockholm Imperial. The ingredients look good on the menu, but the drink itself is both too bitter and too sweet.
1 ounce vodka, 1/2 ounce triple sec, 1 splash roses lime juice, 1/2 to 3/4 Chambord raspberry liqueur, champagne, bar sugar.
Well, the ingredients sound good. Alas. Finally, it's 6 o'clock, and I'm led into Mix, renowned chef Alain Ducasse's Vegas restaurant. Stunningly off-white, with a ceiling that appears to be made of champagne bubbles.
Mr. Ishikawa, welcome to Mix. I'm Scott, and I'll be your server this evening. Can I get you something to drink?
Well, the cocktail I just had in your lounge was rather unpleasant. What do you have that's more refreshing?
How about a gin tonic?
Sounds great. He leaves me with the menu, which I'd already studied online.
Here's your gin tonic. Are you ready to order?
Yes, I'll start with the prawns.
From Ducasse's classic menu.
And for my entree, I'll have the cod.
Also from the classic menu. Excellent choice, sir.
The prawns arrive. There are just 3 of them, still in their shells. One standing up, the other 2 reclining. I'll have to work for my meal. No reclining for me. The first prawn is formidable. The second prawn, just as delicious. And when I put the final prawn in my mouth, something very strange happens. I have the sensation the prawn is making love to my tongue. All the love in that prawn is flooding into me. I close my eyes and see all the prawns I've ever eaten. White outlines against a black sky, like paisleys. Then all the crabs, all the clams, all the lobsters, all the fish, all pouring love into me. Then all the cows, chickens, pigs, every animal I've ever eaten. White outlines in the black sky. I am suddenly at one with every particle of love in the universe. I'm reminded of a scientist who said the universe is made of love. Every particle attracted to every other particle. It is the greatest experience of my life. And then...
How were the prawns, Mr. Ishikawa?
I come crashing to earth. Transcendent.
Chef Ducasse is in the restaurant tonight. I'll tell him you said that.
While I await my entree, I think about the experience I just had. The very first animals I ever ate were shrimp. It was the summer of 1960, and my family was driving through Saskatchewan, our home province. It was very hot, so when we stopped at a restaurant, I wanted something cold. I saw people eating something with ice, so I ordered that. It was a shrimp cocktail. I had no idea what a shrimp was. My family was vegetarian. I didn't eat another animal until 2 years later, when my family suddenly became ferocious carnivores. Shrimp and prawns were my daughter Bit's favorite. When Bit was in high school, she worked at her friend's family's dental clinic. They had a condo in Puerto Vallarta and took Bit down there one summer. When she got back, I asked her about it.
So, what did you do in Mexico, Bit?
Ate a lot of prawns. They were so good.
Anything else?
We went to some clubs.
Did you enjoy them?
Oh yeah, Mexican guys aren't on their phones all the time, like Canadian guys.
The cod dish was excellent, but I overhear neighboring diners, you seem to have a more elevated view of the dish.
This cod is godly.
Amen to that.
Did you enjoy the curried lobster, madam? It is my most famous dish. My whole restaurant empire is built on that dish.
Not had it.
It's not supposed to be too spicy, just delicate. That dish has earned me enough Michelin stars for my own galaxy.
Meat curry.
It is not an Indian dish, mademoiselle, just inspired by Indian cuisine, but with a French accent.
Chef Ducasse.
You are Scott?
Yes, sir.
You see mademoiselle at table 10?
I certainly do, chef.
She does not like my lobster.
She is young. She hasn't had time to develop a sophisticated palate yet.
May we? Where would young Americans learn about fine cuisine? And yet, what's the point of having all the Michelin stars in the sky if you can't impress a beautiful woman? Why bother being a chef at all?
The man at table 2 said your prawns were transcendent.
Bien sûr!
After my meal, on the elevator down, I noticed a beam of light shooting up from the top of the pyramid-shaped Luxor Hotel. It was as if the light was saying, "Hey world, hey stars, hey Osiris, pay attention to what's happening in Egypt right now."
In today's news from Egypt, Human Rights Watch now estimates at least 297 people have been killed since protests in Egypt began 2 weeks ago, based on visits to 7 hospitals in Cairo, Alexandria, and Suez, and interviews with doctors and morgue inspections. The estimate is preliminary and is expected to rise. They're chanting, "The people demand the downfall of the regime." German politicians seem open to the possibility of a Mubarak retirement in the country, at least the ones quoted by Spiegel online.
We need a peaceful transition in Egypt. If Germany can make a constructive contribution in an international framework, we should receive Hosni Mubarak, if he wants that.
Andreas Schockenhoff, a senior member of Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservative Christian Democratic Union Party. When he first came to power, people referred to him as the Laughing Cow because of his resemblance to the cow face on the package of Laughing Cow cheese. I suspect he's no longer laughing. The main story out of Egypt is the release of Wael Gonim, the Google marketing manager who has been unveiled as one of the two administrators of the immensely popular We Are All Khalid Said Facebook page. He said, quote, "I didn't want anyone to know that I am the administrator. There are no heroes. We are all heroes on the street. And no one is on their horse and fighting with the sword," end quote. When the Khalid page first went up, it began with this post from Wael Gonim.
"Oh, you inhuman. We will claim Khalid Said's right. I'm Egyptian. I will never accept Khalid's murder by torture, by heartless people with no mercy. These people were confident they could get away with murder because they're from the police. I'm Egyptian. I will not let the blood of this young man be wasted. I'm Egyptian, like Khalid. The day they went and killed Khalid, I didn't stand by him. Tomorrow they will come and kill me, and you won't stand by me. The person that killed Khalid and soiled his hands with Khalid's blood shouldn't see the light of day anymore. People like this do not deserve to live. They do not deserve to live in Egypt among us."
The killing of apolitical gamer Khalid Said by the police was as much a spark to the Egyptian revolution as the death of fruit seller Mohamed Bouazizi sparked the Tunisian revolution and led to the ousting of its longtime dictator Ben Ali. The Egyptian foreign minister made the comparison.
"Egypt is a different case than Tunisia. Tunisia was a tiny middle-class country. Egypt has 90 million people, most of them poor and many illiterate. Egypt's government had more people on its payroll than Tunisia had citizens."
But stepping back, we can see another cause for this unrest in the Middle East: skyrocketing food prices, particularly bread. A drought last year greatly diminished Australia's wheat production. Then a drought did the same thing in China, and then Russia, which normally supplies much of the region's wheat. The chant on the street is bread, freedom, and social justice. Notice that bread comes first. The 12 days he was imprisoned feel like 12 years. Everything has changed so much since then, said the newly freed activist. We'll have more from Wael Ghanim's emotional TV interview on tomorrow's show. This is Richard Fish for Today's News Today.